Hola.
Hola.
Bienvenidos a Mind Body Stuff.
Sí.
Sí. Me llamo Kaylee.
Me llamo Bernice.
Or Maria. We are fresh off of our Mexican vacation.
Ulacation. Ulacation was so nice.
It was so nice. We had a great time. We're so grateful to those of you who came, and we're so excited for those of you who wanted to come but didn't to join us in the future.
Mm-hmm. We love the place we were at.
We were at a new spot. It was awesome.
Amazing.
Really. It really was. It was so cool. I actually am looking into going there for Thanksgiving with my family.
I think that's
Mi familia.
I think that's a great idea because it's really well set up for something like that.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Loved
it. Very inclusive for that.
Whoa. A nice segue. So what's this talk today going to be about?
This talk today is going to be about inclusivity.
Inclusiveness?
Inclusiveness.
Inclusivity.
Amicable.
What was the word we couldn't say?
Amicable.
What did
amicable.
I say?
You said amicable.
Is it amicable?
Yeah.
Amicable. Hmm. Still got a problem with that.
Inclusivity.
Inclusivity.
Inclusiveness.
We're in gonna talk- my privity. No.
What is that?
Made it up.
Okay. We are going to talk about inclusiveness today.
Because we got an awesome, question.
I totally just talked over you. I'm sorry.
That's fine, but I was going with your thing.
I know, but I need to work on this because I'm hearing that I do it a lot.
I don't hear that at all.
Because you're used to me.
Oh. Do other people hear that? I don't think you guys hear that. I don't think so.
They probably all listen to me all this podcast and say, shut up, Bernice is talking.
No, lady. I think I talk over you too.
You're a therapist. You're good at just sitting and listening.
I just sit and I'm like, yes.
But then it makes me be like, do I need to say more? Because you haven't said anything. And then I just start talking about things that don't make any sense.
Well, I'm you're a good talker.
Yes.
I just talked over you there.
No, I didn't even notice that. Anyways, we're working on our podcast skills. So we had an awesome listener question come in. Well, more, it was actually a very thought-provoking email about inclusiveness. And talking about how there has been kind of a lot of talk lately, for those of you who are instructors on the instructor page, for those of you who are just members of the community in the community page about, you know, songs and the subject matter and do they make people feel included? Do the super female empowerment songs make males feel unincluded, disincluded,
disassociated?
Do we need to be cautious? What are we doing to make ULA an inclusive space? Like, what are we doing? Are there tools? Are there tips? Are there, you know, I don't know, just basically bringing up the subject of how do we create this inclusive space? And is it our responsibility as instructors? I'm guessing maybe from this perspective to, you know, to make everyone feel included, or do we put some of the responsibility on people to work through their own issues as to why they or they may not feel included in a space?
And this question came up mainly regarding men in this space.
Mainly men.
Is what I felt. Not this particular question, but the series of questions prior to this was about, you know.
Yes, good point. Yes.
Because, of course, inclusivity could go in much broader terms in terms of, you know, if we're going to do socioeconomic, if we're going to do gender stuff.
Yeah.
Doing
sexuality.
Sexuality.
Race. Anything.
Anything.
Body size. Body experience level. I mean, you can break down people into as many different ways as you want to categorize them.
Right.
And I think that's something we don't want to do. Actually, we don't want, don't you agree?
I was interested in how you're going to answer that.
Well, I don't think what I'm trying to say is I don't want to look at my participants and immediately begin to categorize them. Male, female, young, old, skinny, fat. How do I need to change maybe the songs that I use or the way that I present these to make every single person feel included
and welcome?
So for me, I think one of the things that that I have talked about in the, I think it was the community page, maybe it was the instructor page, but like every human being, if we're going to just talk gender for a moment, every human being, whether they want to admit it or not, has feminine and masculine qualities and energy. And I think that ULA is really cool because it gives individuals of any gender, even non-conforming gender. I mean, in Thailand, they consider that there are 7 different genders.
Mm. Whoa.
That's yeah, because we are, it's very limiting to just kind of define people as male or female. Mm-hmm. So ULA allows us to explore the different energies of who we are. Not just I have a vagina, I'm female. I have a penis, I am male. Like yes. That is incredibly like defining.
We want to be more fluid.
We want to be more fluid in the sense that like, you know, and I've said this, like, why do I like the songs like Tiptoe or Swallow? I don't know, but there's something about me. And I'm not saying that those are just male. I'm not saying that that energy is all male, but there's this different energy that may seem interesting that I would identify with. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in how I feel, there's this line that I have sung every single time I've ever done this song for as many years as it's existed when Flo Rida sings, 'cause I'm a new man, baby. And I love that. I don't know why. So if I enjoy how it feels to sing these, like this masculine phrase, I'm a new man, I don't know why we wouldn't think that a male wouldn't want to experiment or to sing maybe lyrics or move in ways that are by kind of definition more feminine or female oriented.
And I think a lot of the males that we have in our classes are seeking that in the class sometimes, is that they want to be present in part of that feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because ULA does, I mean, it's a lot of us women together dancing and singing. And so I think it was a good point being brought up that like, well, how do men feel comfortable in that atmosphere? But it's like, well, they're comfortable because the men that come there are maybe seeking that in mm-hmm. their lives for balance.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're more comfortable just exploring those parts of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, these our sons are brought up, you know, right away to go right into the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in this culture, and they're not given a lot of leeway to experiment with the feminine, I don't think. Females in general, you know, it's like, well, we can wear pants and mm-hmm. we can wear a jacket and we can wear a tie if we want to. It's really hard for a male to come out and say, well, I want to wear a dress today.
For sure.
Or a skirt or something like that. So for whatever reason, it feels like some of those men just want to come in here, and I feel like they're just seeking that balance in their life because they're pushed so far into the masculine.
For sure.
And of course, there's the whole other argument that you brought up in the question, which was, I'm going to forget it now. It was really good. Oh, about how females have to fit in so often into male-dominated.
Yes. Yeah, so our listener, she wrote in and she said, women are often pushed to be more confident in male-dominated spaces like work, sporting events, the hardware store, etc. But men are almost never pushed to work through the intimidation they might feel in a female-dominated space. I personally feel like trying to be more inclusive of men might just feed into their insecurity and do them a disservice.
That's a really great point. Because again, it's like, females, it's a patriarchal society you live in the United States anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're taught that we have to kind of fit into this male dominated concept of, you know, business and work.
Mm-hmm.
And men, you know, they're not taught that it's like, what happens if I come in? And what if a man wanted to come here and work for us?
Right.
You know, it'd be like, well, there's a lot of female energy here.
Right.
What do I do with that?
Right. Well, yeah.
So it's a kind of an interesting conundrum that we all have to think about. I think the one thing that's important in terms of inclusiveness as you're thinking about it is, one, being clear about what your biases are.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have bias. That's mm-hmm. fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like opening the dark rooms in our soul sometimes mm-hmm. to our other problems, where it's like, oh yeah, I have anxiety hidden here.
Mm-hmm.
I have depression hidden here. Maybe I have some bias hidden here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of have to be aware of that when you start dealing with inclusivity.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
For sure.
That's the beauty of asking the question, what is it like? How do we make this class more accessible to men if we want to?
And I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and I would love to hear some men's perspective on this, but I don't think the men come into our class thinking, I'm a man, so how are they going to make me feel included in this space? What is the instructor going to do to make me feel included? I think that they come in because they like it.
Yes, I agree.
And they don't maybe necessarily need anything extra. Maybe they like the feeling of the class as it is.
Yes, maybe they just want to have fun, modify, dance around.
And- yeah. So sometimes I feel like we can almost be like too, we almost, by defining other people in such a way, it's not fair to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to be like, well, a man is in my class, so I better make sure that I change something about this so that
he may feel included. Maybe I need to change a lyric. Maybe he wants to shout something different here. You know what
I mean? But if I like shouting, I'm a new man, what makes me think there's not something inside of him that wants to say, I'm blanking on a line that, you know, like calls ourselves a something that has to do with being female.
Right.
But it's like, if I enjoy that, then why would I think that they wouldn't enjoy that as well?
Yeah. It's kind of like Joan of Arc where we all hit the floor. And then what's the question? Like, are you, you know, I forget the question in the song, but she's asking, are you the feminist type? Are you the feminist type? So of course I love the men shout that too, just as loud in our classes. And I thought Adam, one of our participants in Minnesota, Adam, I hate to use you again, but brought up a good
point. Sorry, Adam.
Use you one more time. Thanks, Adam. Remember what he said about, that why wouldn't men support the feminine? What was it? He had a better way of saying it.
Mm. Well, I don't know, but all I know is like with feminism, you don't have to be a female to believe that empowering women and letting I guess for me, I think about it more on an energetic level than just a gender level. So the feminine energy. So for me, feminine energy is very, it's very circular. So if you think about it, like there's a lot of circular shapes that women come into,
like a cyclone. No.
Just moves up on it like a cyclone. She could go all night. But like, you know, women, like the witches have danced around fire circles, and women usually come together in circles. Women are really, generally the communication style, I think, is more, circle oriented. There's also one of the reasons I named Ula what it is because, has so many vowels in it, and vowels are feminine and consonances are masculine. Vowels are very circular and round. Think about like cursive A's and U's and O's. Everything has this round shape to it, this circle thing. And so, I think just thinking about things in feminine energy, not necessarily this is just for women, but it is inviting the female energy to take up a bigger space,
mm-hmm.
and to maybe think about how we could shift some of these patriarchal ways that are maybe not the most healthy or supportive or inclusive.
Or the most balanced.
Or balanced, yes. Just trying to find that balance a little bit better between the masculine and the feminine. And to be honest, I think there's a lot of Ula that is quite masculine.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, there may be a lot of women in class, but I feel that there is a lot of masculine energy in Ula. And when I say masculine energy, I do mean more of the powerful, the sharpness, the straight lines, the maybe like wide, powerful stances.
Mm-hmm. The squats, even.
Yeah. And even if we want to call it yin and yang, you know, it's just all of this. It's the contrast. The contrast is what's really beautiful and fascinating to me, and inviting that feminine energy to take up a bigger, larger role of even men's life and their relationship with their body and their relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think in terms of the broader sense of inclusivity, inclusiveness, whenever I start class or before I start class, I try to think to myself in terms of intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try and have the intention, no matter whatever overlying intention might be, is everything is allowed in this space.
Oh, that's cool.
Everything is allowed. Whatever emotions people may be having, wherever they need to be during this time, everything is allowed. So I think that's a tool to the instructor. If you start with the intention, I don't care what issues you might be dealing with in the class in terms of gender or socioeconomic or sexuality differences, if you just have that broader sense is everything is allowed in this space, then people will feel that.
Yeah.
If that's your psychic put out. And they'll also mirror it. So not only are you striving to do it, but you're also teaching your participants at the same time in this space and this time, everything is allowed.
I love that. I think that's really good. And I think we also have to remember it's okay if not everybody likes you or your class. And so for me, again, going back to just viewing these types of situations on an energetic level, I have to trust that the people who energetically need me or will benefit
from
me.
No matter who they are.
I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. Yes. I literally couldn't care less who they are. Male, female, short, tall. I don't care. I am just trusting that the people who need the experience that I offer will find me. And the people who may not totally enjoy or get the most out of my type of experience that I offer in my classes will find a different instructor or a different class or a different space in which they feel that they can thrive. And so we also have to say, you know, like, yes, I want to be inclusive, but I also need to, I am me and I am going to attract those that need this type of energy.
That's a very good point.
And so then it's kind of like, I don't need to worry so much about it because it will really, if we start to define people, it's really going to limit the possibility for them and for us. And it kind of puts people in a box. So I may see a woman who's in her 70s and she may be, you know, she may have a knee brace on and may be, you know, new to fitness. I don't know. If I look at her and start to categorize all of those things and then I change the way that I teach, because I'm trying to give her what I think she needs, I'm making assumptions about her. What if that woman is a freaky, freaky, freaky lady and she just wants to get down? She wants the music up. She wants nobody paying any attention to her. She just wants to do her damn thing in the back of the room. So who am I to place judgment on her to try to give her what she needs?
Right. And assuming that you know
assuming what she needs. I know what she needs.
Right. Exactly.
So how do we assume that a man needs us to change the lyrics for him so that he feels comfortable? How do we assume that, you know, anybody that we're categorizing needs what we think that they need.
That then we need to shift our teaching style also in some way.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's the other part of inclusivity and inclusiveness is if the leader is confident and clear and authentic, then like you're saying, then the people that need that will come to that class.
Yeah.
But being authentic is like, then I see you. I see who you are when you teach. So then I know what to expect.
Yes.
And I know whether I like it or I don't like it.
I think that's
it would be weird if we were just, if I'm like, here I am one day and the next day I'm like, watch out for your knee.
Right.
Or careful about this or
right.
whatever I might do. Or let's say a different lyric now. Let's say, embrace your father, not your mother. Whatever it is, everyone would be like, what has happened to Bernice today? Why is she doing this?
I think you bring up such a good point because our authenticity, what allows people to trust us. And I think trust is what creates safety, and safety is what allows people to show up and get whatever they need from that experience. And so when we are just fully ourselves and fully present, then people can get a feel. Like I have such a hard time with people that I can't get a good read on. I don't feel safe necessarily around them because I'm like, are you bullshitting me? Are you telling me what you think that I want to hear? Are you like, who are you? I just, when I'm like still searching, like, well, who are you? I will tell you what, it does not invite me to open up.
No.
Because I'm like, I'm not sure who is this information going to?
What do you expect from me? Or even like, what is, I don't even know how you see me because I can't see you.
Exactly. And yes. And so I think
there's a curtain around it. So I'm like, I don't know. So maybe if I'm feeling uncomfortable about being in that class, and then the instructor is also like, I can't see them, I'm like, I'm probably not going to come back to this class.
Exactly. And we all have our stuff. We all have our stuff that we're working on. And I think also as a leader, as an instructor or a leader, not only, I mean, this can go way, 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 way beyond ULA, but if you show up and allow those parts of yourself to be seen and be honest about them and vulnerable, then what that says is, you know, everybody else can also show up as a flawed person.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not striving for this perfection, when we're not striving to be good or to be, you know, to compare ourselves to other people, then we kind of start to forget, like we start to forget those things that generally confine us or separate us from one another. Like when I am in a really good ULA class, I don't see what anybody's body looks like. I don't see anything. I just feel people.
I don't even see myself very well.
I don't see myself either.
It's like all blurred images kind of. It feels much more like energy.
It's just energy. It's just energy work. Mm-hmm. And you can feel when we are just these souls that are dancing together. It doesn't matter if you've got a knee injury and you're modifying. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. It's this energetic experience that we're sharing together. And I think that is what we need to continue to stay focused on. And let not our definition of our participants define the experience.
Yes. And once we do that, we are limiting our personal growth.
Uh-huh.
Because we are coming in with an agenda.
Uh-huh.
And versus just saying, like, I'm open to allowing everything here in this space today. And I'm confident that I'm going to be as authentic as I can be with uh-huh. myself. And then you also open the door to growth.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, look at what just happened right there.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never anticipated that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had just been focused on, I have to do it, you know, here's the person over here that looks like this and this person here, everything's kind of shut down into my opinion, which mm-hmm. isn't always correct most of the time.
Yeah.
So if we stay open, then we open all of ourselves up to growth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does this class feel now?
Well, you know those memes where it's like, I've only seen them for Zumba. It's like, what I feel like I look in Zumba. And it's this like beautiful, sweaty, like totally fit lady. And then it's like, but what I really look like in Zumba. And it's like, you know, this clumsy, klutzy, whatever. But the thing is, those individuals may see themselves as like, beautiful, graceful dancers. But if we're like, uh-oh, she looks like she's really struggling with the choreography, I better break it down for her. She may think that she's just this beautiful. I mean, she may just be having the best time and feeling like she's in a music video.
Yes.
But then we may look at her and be like, uh-oh, I feel like she's struggling.
Yeah.
I think that she needs extra help.
That's
we
a
should
very good
kinda,
point.
Quote unquote, like dumb down this experience a little bit. Then we've totally changed it for her.
Yes.
Because in her mind, she's this like sexy, sexy like dancer in a music
video.
And
then again, we don't know.
We don't know.
All I know is what's in my mind.
We don't get to define these people.
No, we don't get
when
to.
When we do.
And I had that happen to me in a yoga class once and I never went back.
Oh, I've heard this
story.
Makes
me hate yoga. I mean, I'm so sorry, yoga people, but because I was having a really good time and uh-huh. And at that time I do like to stretch. It feels good to stretch and I was stretching out and, you know, I hadn't been to yoga very much. And during the class, the teacher came up to me and she said, you need to be careful with your flexibility. And I was like,
what?
Like I was literally
probably just jealous of you.
Lost in the moment. And then she said to me, it may be reflective in other parts of your life. And I was like, I hate you. But because she came up and assumed something about me for whatever reason,
uh-huh.
it ruined my experience. And I might have been a very good yoga participant.
Sure, yes.
But from her, I don't know if she thought she was helping me from not being injured. She doesn't know my body.
No.
She doesn't know me.
Uh-uh.
She ruined that experience for me and I never went back.
Yeah.
I never went
back.
That's
a really, yeah.
And it's still
really
hard for me when we do any yoga type stuff. It's like grounded in my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, well, this doesn't like me.
Oh, uh huh.
So it's like, be careful how we intend to help others.
Yeah. And I think part, you know, this is more specifically for those of you who are instructors out there, but it's okay to have your own style.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay to have your own style. There are some instructors who teach vastly different classes than mine. And that's okay.
Oh.
And people are going to be drawn to that style more than mine. And some people are going to be drawn to, you know, all these different styles.
That's a gift. Those are all gifts.
And so we also don't have to make everybody happy either. You know, it's like, I think we also have to just admit that sometimes people aren't A, going to like Ula, and B, aren't going to like your class.
That's I love that. Some people are not going to like Ula.
Some people just aren't going to like
it. And that's okay. Maybe they like something else. That's great. Whatever they like, they like.
Uh-huh.
But that's not our job to hammer it into them.
And I think that's sometimes why we try to be inclusive, because it's like, if I make you feel welcome here, then you're going to fall in love with it like I have.
Like,
you know?
I have,
and so sometimes
right.
we're like, please. I'm going to do everything I can to make you feel included in this experience so that you love it. But sometimes people just aren't going to love it. No matter how much you include them in it, no matter how much you, you know, make them feel welcome, make them feel noticed. They just may not like it. And our listener also wrote something really interesting. She was talking about her best friend who's been coming to Ula as well. And it said, and she wrote that she is struggling with her postpartum body issues, which a lot of us women feel. And she's had some pretty rough classes where she has spent time comparing herself to other participants. And she ends the class feeling defeated instead of empowered. And so this listener was saying, we've had the, it's not about how it looks, it's about how it feels conversation many, many times, but she still feels insecure because she feels like there are so many other people who are skinny and fit dancing that like, so, okay, what, like, then do you not tell the skinny and fit people to come to class? Cause it makes, you know, people who are having body issues feel like they're uncomfortable
or
less
than.
You know? And so part of it too is everybody, like, we try to meet Ula, or Ula tries to meet each individual where they're at. But ultimately, like, nobody can do the work for anybody else.
No.
Nobody can do the work for anyone else. But the goal is to make the experience of being in your body a positive one, and to make the space feel non-judgmental. We can't control if somebody feels self-judgment. What we can do though is create an atmosphere where there is no focus on getting anything right, where there's no focus on how your body needs to look, where there's no focus on just any of those things that would add to the kind of shaming that this woman may be feeling about herself. But we ultimately, nobody can do the work for anybody else. We create a space that is that is very open. I think Ula by nature is just that way, with mm-hmm. the way that instructors teach the class, for the way that I don't know. I just, can you help me out with this?
It like, does feel very, I mean, it's.
But is that something people are doing? I think it's kind of just built
into. I think
it's
inherent, and it's also inherent in our trainings, in our empowerment trainings.
Right.
It's just how we all learn that. And it's also the variety of songs we pick.
Yes.
We have sexy songs. We have sad songs. We have angry songs. We have frustrated songs. We have playful songs.
Also the intensity of the playlist, and how, you know, as you're getting more and more and more tired, then comes the more and more and more emotional songs, so that they can actually crack down into that deeper level.
Deeper shame parts of themselves.
And get in there to do the work.
Yes. Yeah, So I think, again, always remember, as everything is allowed in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So even starting the class, because the product, Ula, already is encouraging that, just starting the class with that as an intention.
Yeah. And I think going back to the demon wrestling post, I mean, Ula, there is a lot of demon wrestling involved in Ula. And
yes.
that woman shows up and, you know,
she's
maybe
wrestling.
It's forcing her to wrestle those demons.
She's wrestling. And when you wrestle demons, sometimes it doesn't feel good.
Exactly.
That's how it is in therapy. We do therapy sometimes. And I say to people, this is not necessarily going to make you feel better right away. Right. Just so you know.
That's a very good
point. In fact,
you
could feel worse.
Yeah.
After this.
Yeah.
And after a few sessions. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, after we wrestle long enough and hard enough, mm-hmm. we'll feel better. Mm-hmm. But that's not guaranteed in this first, second, third, or fourth session.
Yeah.
And I've had many participants who have been reluctant to come to ULA. Mm-hmm. Maybe they took an ULA class. They didn't come back for a year. They weren't ready. It wasn't their thing. Whatever's going on.
Right.
I'm like, fine. Take your path. Because some of those people come back and they're the most diehard participants.
Yeah.
And then you have some participants who are dancing, and they need to take a break.
Yep.
Something's happening in their life. That's okay too.
Or maybe they don't need ULA anymore.
Or maybe they don't. Right. Very good point. And that's the part of the openness too, uh-huh. is that I thought you brought up a good point, Kaylee, in terms of like, it's like, because we love it so much, mm-hmm. I want Barbara to love it as much as me.
Right.
And I'm kind of jumping in her face, you know, like, you're going to love this. And she's like, not right now. I don't love it right now.
Yeah.
And if I'm inclusive, then I understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No problem.
Uh-huh.
When you're ready, come back. If you want to.
Yeah.
If you want to, come back.
Yeah.
And people can see that and they can feel that.
Yeah. I kind of wish that people, and maybe this is our job from an administrative standpoint, but I wish that people would consider ULA as more of a practice like they do with yoga.
Oh.
Because with yoga, everyone kind of goes in knowing like you're not like, and that's one of the great things about like the progression of the poses, because people then understand that it's a practice and then they kind of dedicate to this progress. Now, what I don't like about that is I don't want there to be a goal with ULA, because I don't like that mentality for this. I don't want
the
people to think
mentality.
Like, I'm going to get good at this, or I'm not good enough at this yet. Or like a high kick is like, you know, the goal of this class or of this song or whatever. I don't like that. But I do think in terms of the emotional journey that ULA is a practice, or people, you know, with their inability to look silly, or, you know, people often
or sexy,
or people often have a really hard time with not knowing what the moves are. So what they're grappling with is this not being in control.
Yes.
And so it is a practice to then go in for an hour. And I think Rob touched on this really well with his thing, is he was like, it's a little bit of ego of, you know, not knowing what I'm doing. And I think a lot of people don't like ULA because they don't feel like they're in control, and they don't want to look silly because they don't know what they're doing. So what great practice to come into this space and sit with that discomfort.
Yes,
it's a practice.
They've lost their ability for beginner mind.
Yeah, the beginner mind.
The beginner mind, which we have as children all the time. Everything is new. Uh-huh. Here's your pencil. How do I hold it? Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff.
It's so cute too, because like Huxley doesn't get ashamed when I teach her how to – I'm like,
no, because there's pure curiosity.
Yeah, it's not like she doesn't feel shame that
how
she did something wrong. She's just like, oh, and then like, you know, switches how she's holding the pen, or you know, try something this way. Or if she says,
how do I put the shirt on?
We gone. I said, no, we went. She goes, we went. I'm like,
excellent.
There you go.
Beginner mind. And I think for me, that's one of the great blessings of ULA. I try to tell people too, is because as we get older, we're just so like, I don't want to do anything I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but it's so good for your brain.
Yeah.
Your brain's like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I've just been doing everything I know for the last 50 years.
Uh-huh.
And how about we test that today?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about you guys out there. Think about in the other parts of your life, and maybe you have jobs, or maybe you have, you know, whatever that required this, which I think is awesome. But how often are you asked to like learn something new, or to not be good at something? Like in other parts of my life, I can pretty much go on cruise control and like, I know how to do this. I know how to run my household. I know how to do most of the stuff. And so I think it's just such good practice to always be like new at something.
I know. I love that. The other day, I love moving my body too, like trying, cause your body gets so like used to certain ways it moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like only my right hip goes around, not my left.
Mm-hmm.
And we were practicing a move, in the new choreography. And I'm like, oh, I have to start on the left side. And it was such a great, cause it was like, for me, I'm like, oh, okay. I have to I just have to have the better communication with my body here and the muscles to make them go like, oh, the left side first, honey. Mm-hmm. You got this. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I don't get to do that anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else do I get to do that?
Right.
And yeah, if we can think of it that way, it's such a gift.
It is such a gift. And it's such a gift to do this work in the body, because as we know, and the reason why we called this podcast Mind Body Stuff is because I do feel like when we can experience things both in the mind and in the body, that is the true path to healing and health.
It feels so connected.
It's connected. We recognize that we're full beings. We're not just our brains. We're not just our bodies.
We're not just our gender.
Not just our gender. We're not just our weight. We're not just the number on the scale. We're not just our sexual orientation. We're not just our roles. I'm not just a mom. I'm not just a whatever. So don't look at me like that and don't change this because you judge me or you see me in a way that I may not even see myself.
And you might think you're helping me.
You may think you're helping me.
Yeah.
You may think you're trying to include me, but maybe I don't want to be seen that way. So don't place judgment on me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And now, that's the gift of inclusivity.
I really believe so. And I feel,
I think if you have that mindset,
you know, we don't get a lot of negative feedback about our instructors, but the times that we do get negative feedback about our instructors, it has been, because of an instructor calling out participant. I don't know what that was.
Participant.
Calling them out. And I think the instructor thought that she was being helpful by trying to like teach them or show them a better way to do something. But, and so it is interesting because that instructor, I think, had good intention.
Yes, I think they did.
To be like, yeah, do it this way or whatever. But to that person in the class, it didn't feel inclusive. It felt incredibly
shaming.
Shaming. Mm-hmm. Shaming. And so I think for those of you out there listening who are instructors, or I think this can also transfer to other just roles or areas in life.
Yes.
If you're creating spaces in which people can show up without that judgment piece, and if you're fully willing to embrace all of your ness, then that is how we create inclusiveness, but we have to practice it ourselves. And so maybe that instructor really, maybe that instructor was placing more value on I don't know, the form rather
position
than
or form.
Yeah.
And also, again, never assume that you know someone's body more than your body. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? Because I might do something that I really like doing.
Uh-huh.
And you might say, like, that does not look real
good.
That's
not safe. But what if you've moved your body like that
your
whole life?
That's how I move my body my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're showing me the way up there, the good way, or the way that you think is the best way to do it. But maybe in my mind, this is my way. And also, maybe I'm just lost in the music.
Oh,
for
yeah.
For just a little bit, I'm lost. And also, I think when we do ULA, sometimes I just want to be part of the group. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be alone or stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be just included.
It's a very good point. That's actually, I think that is the point, is that by pointing people out and saying how they're different, then that is actually excluding them.
Yeah.
When all I think people want to do is be included and be part of this thing. And sometimes people just want to disappear in class too. You know, like I remember before ULA, when I would go take, NIA classes in Boulder, Colorado, I had this amazing, amazing NIA instructor. Her name was Lori. I will always be grateful for her. She kind of set me on this path, and I loved just losing myself. I would lose myself. And it wasn't that I wasn't connected to the other people, because there is that energetic connection that is really powerful about dance. But I didn't want anyone to see me as anything but one of the energetic centers that was sharing this experience. I didn't want anyone to see me as fit or young or old or a dancer or a non-dancer or, you know, whatever it was. I just wanted to be a part of this energetic experience.
You just want to be a part of it.
I loved it. I loved it.
Just let me be a part of it.
And for me, because you guys know how important music is for me, it's like I also then am able to become a part of the music. There's this inclusiveness. Like it's almost like I get to like become like included into this song too.
And the story.
Into this story, into this song, into the notes. Like I can feel the music like infiltrating my body. I'm included in it in a way that just feels so amazing. And part of what I love about dance is that I am allowed to like shape shift and I'm allowed to go to those different parts in either my story or the collective story. And so what if I want to pretend that I'm a man during that song?
Sometimes I do.
I do. Sometimes I want to be the man in that song.
And I think sometimes men want to pretend that they're the woman in this song.
I absolutely think they do. And I think there should be no shame in that. And I think there is more shame that men experience in wanting or enjoying how that feels.
Yes.
And I think it's also our job to take away that, is it a stigma or is that a...
Yeah, stigma.
Or a... I don't know. Like, why not? Why not create these spaces? Like, why bring more attention to gender than is necessary? I just don't get the point of it.
Right. And if the class is the class.
The class is the class.
So whoever comes to the class.
Souls dancing together.
We're souls dancing together. So hopefully all these other things that we carry around or that people see fall away.
Exactly.
And we're just pure light. Mm-hmm. Pure light, just dancing together, mm-hmm. feeling the music, feeling what these artists have created, feeling the movement that we've created, mm-hmm. and being in that time and that place. So when, as soon as we pull out of that and we note, like, I'm going to do this because a man's here, that is broken.
Yeah.
That is exactly. broken. The magic is boom. And suddenly we're like, whoa, uh-oh. Wait, I'm not a soul right now. Here I am. Here's my person, you know, here's my skin and here's what people view of me.
Exactly.
And sometimes I don't want any of that. Exactly. I just want to be, like you said, another soul dancing in that space.
Yes.
Free of all sorts of definitions. I want to be free of all those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For just that 1 hour.
Yeah. Oh, man, good topic. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. And
it's been a great discussion.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your comments on our last post. It was just really, I know we got super whiny about asking for you to comment, but we really appreciate it. So.
Oh my gosh, they were amazing.
Yeah.
We need that stuff every once in a while. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for sharing your hearts with us. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.